Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Rowdy Buddhist podcast. I appreciate your support as always. Today, we're going to continue the discussion and lecture on the Noble Truth. So, today, we're going to be looking at the second Noble Truth of the origin of suffering. So, as we saw in the first Noble Truth, the Buddha stated that there is suffering. Or as we defined it, unsatisfactoriness. Second Noble Truth is very interesting because the Buddha, after understanding and realizing through his realization that suffering was part of life, he, in a very scientific way, realized that he couldn't find an end of to this problem without finding out its cause. And this is again goes back to this idea that I stated in the previous recording of the idea that just like a doctor learns about what's going on with the patient, we see that by the symptoms that they give us as we interview them. And that by finding out what is causing the problem and then being able to realize or study or see into that, we are absolutely able to be able to provide a cure, but only when we realize in depth the causes and conditions of the problem. And so, by examining and watching people, and also through his own practice, we are able to see this cause of suffering, which in early Buddhism, in Theravada Buddhism specifically, and in the situation of the teaching of the Second Noble Truth, those are craving and desire, along with the core being ignorance. And that actually the power, the issues found in these things, the misgivings, the effect of these causes are what leads to suffering. And in the Second Noble Truth, we focus specifically on the causes. And this cause is seen in the way more definitively as craving. But also, this idea of craving, to give a more concrete example, the translation comes to more like a thirst. So, a craving just means a kind of passing. So, we may say we crave some ice cream or something else, but the kind of thirst for the suffering means that we're doing it from some other space of without rationality, without proper perspective. And that thirst to me is the kind of thirst as we see in addiction. So that is why in many times our craving, our desires are our addiction. And the most, even though we may see think that they're subtle and not as extreme as, for instance, abusing drugs or some other kind of type of object or thing to change our state of mind that we cannot say no to in the more extreme examples, even the most simplest of cravings and desires ultimately lead to this unsatisfying unsatisfactoriness that we see, and that is the result which causes us to suffer. So these three types of craving, there are three types of craving that the Buddha specifically directed our attention to. The first was that of sensual pleasures. That means through our senses, through our mind, those cravings that we have that we believe that those are permanent relief of our overall condition of suffering, our overall life of ignorance. So therefore, we invest very heavily in the sensual pleasures. Again, sometimes because they're very attainable, we in the modern age have pretty much availability to anything. Also, if you have enough money, anything is available. So therefore, sensual pleasures are seen as an escape of our unsatisfactoriness of life. So for even if it's a moment, we try to create that satisfaction that we wish to have or wish to find. But again, we don't understand the origin. We haven't investigated. So again, we're trying with our best mind, which is of course an ignorant mind of subpar awareness, that we are making decisions. It's absolutely in many ways insane The second is actually craving for becoming. This idea of craving for becoming means that some, which of course is personified by many practices and teachings, which of course capitulate to this desire, that is the idea of immortality, or, you know, permanent or everlasting existence, immortality. So therefore, we are afraid of death. We do not wish to cease. We cannot see the reality of what happens after we pass away. So therefore, we subjugate ourselves again to another type of desire or systems that enable that desire, such as religion or, again, addictions. And the third is a craving for non-becoming, which is interesting because you would think, okay, everyone wants to live forever. But the idea of non-becoming, people say that this is actually a type of, how would you say, depression, in which one has given up on life. But also, I believe the way that I was taught this concept of non-becoming, also the Nirvana Sutra talks about it, the idea of emptiness. That actually this attachment to this concept of emptiness is one of the other aspects of delusion that lead us away, of course, from what we will find to be the answer, the middle way. And that is, of course, the Buddha says in the Nirvana Sutra that if one simply believes that Buddhism or the teachings of Buddhism is based simply on emptiness, that that's actually a heretical view and will, of course, lead nowhere. It will just be one side of the equation and won't lead us in any way towards the middle path. But if we understand properly existence, which is impermanence, and the idea of emptiness within existence, we can then realize the path of the middle way, which, of course, is the goal. So again, this is very important because these cravings, what people are saying, these are your choices that most people take. So therefore, and again, religion, you may have even joined Buddhism with the express desire or craving of one of these three, whether it be to become an immortal Buddha, however you perceive that to be, or if that's your desire, or to become empty, to dissipate into nothingness, or simply one that when you attain enlightenment or become a higher, born in a higher realm, your desires or craving for sensual pleasures are totally fulfilled. That's why it's pretty much whatever you want in heaven, whatever you desire, the gods promise you as you buy real estate in the next life. So therefore, it's very important that I believe these types of cravings as we move on is that in the approach to finding the causes of suffering, we look into our actual motivation. And so therefore, we purify our motivation to make sure that we're progressing towards the correct way. And actually craving, the metaphor that's actually used for the idea of craving, which I find extremely useful, is like a tree with many, many, many branches. And the branches, the main branches are greed, bad thoughts, which would be ignorance or unfounded in reality. Thoughts and of anger. So the bad thoughts, which would kind of be the bad thoughts, they think of hatred. So greed, hatred, and ignorance, right? And then the fruit of the tree of craving is the suffering. That's what bears fruit. So when we are part of this tree, what is brought forth is the fruit of suffering. But we, as Buddhists, again, the second of the noble truths is finding the cause. So understanding how this tree is growing and where we can find it. And the Buddha teaches us that actually this tree of craving, of existence, actually of suffering, of unsatisfactoriness, is actually based in the roots of ignorance. And this is where it gets its nutrition. It's where it grows. Its seeds fall and flourish whenever they are brought into or supported by this ignorance. And this inherent ignorance that we talk about is the ignorance of not knowing properly. So the root cause that we find in Buddhism goes to ignorance. And it is our personal inability to see the ignorance due to our cravings, our wanting things, or even the rejection of things, which is the idea of concept of anger, that, you know, we may want things, but then also saying there's nothing can help me, the rejection of things, in that the way we want things to be different, we want to control the world, rather than seeing it with the perspective of the enlightened mind, the example being that of the Buddha, seeing into the reality as such, as we say. And that actually, real ignorance is not simply in the concept of being uneducated, of not knowing enough things, but we see it as the inability to see the inherent truth of things, to see things, as we always say in the Lotus Sutra, as it is, which is a really great phrase, because it doesn't allow you to get stuck. Because again, we usually will add, even the concept of enlightenment, easy to get stuck because people project their cravings onto the concept of enlightenment, which you'll see, as I said, in Neo-Buddhism. People constantly changing the definition of Buddhism to suit their own cravings, basically, of one of these three, whether it be sensual, the craving for becoming, or the craving of non-being, all of these based in ignorance. And so therefore, it's very essential that in this second noble truth that we're establishing where and what we are basing our Buddhist practice on. So we've seen in throughout history the many examples of this misunderstanding and limited information, which is the cause of ignorance, which is the place where ignorance is born and bred. And actually, you know, up until the modern period, people believed that the earth was flat, and that actually people were, and even today there are people who believe that, beyond the idea of scientific proof, but that they actually reveal that these dangers were in their minds based on their limited perception. And again, we see this in all aspects of personal opinions, etc. And that we also see that as Buddhists, they teach that as long as we are ignorant of things in the world, we are going to suffer from all of these types of misunderstandings and delusions. But that actually through cultivation, through faith, through learning and practice, we are able to acquire the wisdom to be able to discern the reality as it is, to see things as they really are. We understand this through the Buddha's teachings about suffering and impermanence of life. So therefore, we do not cling to life. We do not cling to death. We do not cling to emptiness. But actually that we realize we move towards the awareness of enlightenment, the state of enlightenment. And that the way to end suffering in the life is to understand what causes it. This is a very rational, scientific way of looking at things. Craving and ignorance are the main causes for our suffering, but people suffer with their pleasures, craving for pleasures of senses, which always become unsatisfied, disappointed. And then we, of course, always go on to create and replace them with new ones. We are easily distracted and don't last long on our particular likes or dislikes. But we're unable to see the world as it is and live simply an illusion with our life and fears and beliefs and things that we bring from that ignorant state of mind. So we have to be able to look or perspect ourselves to be able to observe. That is that character Khan in Khan Jin or Shikan, to observe with the mind the awareness of the Buddha. Now it's very important for us to understand that each of these particular teachings give us a particular direction, a particular practice that we need to do to investigate. And the second one is understanding the origin of suffering. And it's interesting, as I stated, and I will state in another podcast after this at the very end, the view of the Mahayana as opposed to the idea of the Theravadin, in which one ceases to suffering, ceases to exist, that actually our goal is a little different, not a little different, a lot different, in the sense that we in the Mahayana wish that even if this world is full of cravings, is full of suffering, through our great vow of enlightenment to save all sentient beings, that's the Buddha's great vow, but that we aspire to the action, the way of the Bodhisattva, in which we, even though we exist in this world, we do not wish to flee. We do not wish to become simply an arahat that simply escapes birth and death, but that actually to fulfill the Buddha's vow, which in reality, the Mahayana, the greater vehicle, states, is the reality of the truth. And that actually the teaching that we receive from the Theravadin, the beginning teachings of the Buddha, the basic teachings of the Buddha, the early teachings of the Buddha, are what, as we see in Chapter 2, expedient. So it's very important to keep that in mind, because again, if you simply go online and search the Four Noble Truths, you will always see a pretty much, and even in Mahayana sites and Mahayana teachers, will more than likely speak towards the Theravadin concept. But we need to realize that as Nichiren Buddhists, we subscribe to the teachings as taught in the Lotus Nirvana Sutras. And again, as I will do in the last of the series of podcasts, is I will talk about what the Buddha tells us, where he goes back and reworks these Four Noble Truths in the Nirvana Sutra to clear up some of the misgivings of his students, which of course, as he's about to pass away, they all have their own kind of cravings or beliefs. Even though they have attained certain levels of awakening, they have not attained nor heard the actual true mind of the Buddha. And so therefore they become a little disjointed, as we saw in the Lotus Sutra. Many of them get up and leave, but they come back. And in the Nirvana Sutra, another issue happens is that they came back because of obviously their belief in the Buddha's enlightenment, but also that arrogance was still there, that when the Buddha was about to pass away, they acted as if they didn't understand anything, and that the Buddha could see their attachments, to see their cravings, that even though they had attained a certain level of enlightenment, they were not necessarily able to have heard the actual true mind of the Buddha. And that's what is to be have been expounded in the Lotus Sutra, and of course exemplified and explained in the Nirvana Sutra. So as we proceed through these aspects, it's very important that the direction that the Buddha is teaching us, especially as I would say in the Mahayana tradition, that we observe our causes, our purposes, our cravings perhaps for practicing Buddhism, for wishing enlightenment, and that actually in realizing that, we are able to see what is hindering us from enlightenment and to better see. Again, we have certain attachments, we have certain natural cravings of the body because we're humans, so therefore those are very challenging to go beyond. That is why in the Lotus Sutra it specifically talks about faith, that if one has faith, we are able to see the path of the Buddha. The path is revealed. And again, I believe that these Four Noble Truths are a kind of awakening or a flashlight, or enhancing our ability to see the path clearly by examining, for instance, our motivations, also our hindrances, based in ignorance, and to become awakened to that we again do not simply follow the self, where I believe many people may adapt the First Noble Truth by believing that the Buddha was correct and that things are unsatisfactory, but they're unwilling to actually examine nor give up or perhaps downgrade in their system of priorities what is the most important thing. And that is why those cravings, as simple as they may be, or as hidden as they may be, because you may argue, well, this is a great craving. This is an important craving. What is, you know, you rationalize and explain, etc. But again, we need to see that the tree is full of endless cravings, endless delusion. And then therefore we quickly uproot the poisonous tree of ignorance. And this tree is a poisonous tree that if we simply just cut the branches, they grow back. So we go to the core. And it's very important to understand how both in early Buddhism as well as in Mahayana Buddhism and in the Lotus Nirvana Buddhism, which is based on the Lotus Sutra, how the perception is viewed, because this sometimes gets muddled and confused. But again, this is just going over the basics. And then at the final, after we talk about the final fourth noble truth, I will make an additional podcast going into depth of a different type of view of these four noble truths, as was later done by the Buddha in the Nirvana Sutra, and then of course Master Tiantai in China, upon reviewing this in the path or the vehicle of the great vehicle, the one vehicle, that of the lotus vehicle of the interactive action of Buddhism through the idea of faith, as compared to simply relying on one's ability to see ignorance, because the trappings are many, the branches are many, and so it's easy to get stuck. So therefore, we need to continue to go forward into the third noble truth. And I thank all of you for listening today. I hope that this was helpful and allowed you to have some more depth. And hopefully, we will be able to move on together to the next recording. So thank you very much for your support as always. Namu myoho renge kyo.